being willing and able to have uncomfortable conversations really takes you to the next level. And it's sometimes that simple. Just people who know how to communicate through difficult times are very effective people.
You're listening to Estimate Rocket Radio, the hassle-free online software for service contractors that keep your business running from lead to pay. We want your business to grow, so we make it easy to get your job done.
Hi, everyone. It is a great day at Estimate Rocket Radio, and I want to give you all a very warm welcome. My name is Kathleen. I'm the Director of Sales here at Estimate Rocket, and I am joined by my very dynamic co-host, Chris Shank, who is our leader of education and engagement here at Estimate Rocket. Hey, Chris.
Hey, I'm excited about this podcast. We're going to have quite a crowd on today, huh?
Me too. You know, so today is a little bit different. We're kind of changing it up here. We are super excited to have with us some of our leadership team and our business growth coach. So I'm going to introduce them to you right now. Our founder and CEO, Thomas Drost, we have with us. Our special guest and business growth coach is Corwin Smith. And we also have the head of customer success and technical support, Fred Kulik. And I want to give a special shout out to Corwin Smith. He just got off a plane. He's in San Jose, so don't feel too bad for him. And he's sitting on a park bench. How sweet is that? He's joining us even on the road.
Yes, we are thankful to Corwin and everybody joining us. This is almost representative of everybody who was at the quarterly leadership team meeting. Bevan Hernandez was also with us, head of product and marketing here at Estimate Rocket. But we like for you guys to see how these things work. It's one thing for us to say, you need to have meetings like this on a regular basis, and this is how they should be structured. But this is our opportunity to just say, hey, look, here's how it actually works in a company trying to use cutting edge techniques to strengthen their vision, align all of their programming, and build out the best content that we could possibly have. So we're trying to give you a sneak peek into that process so you can not only do as we say, but do as we do. So what I'm saying is just watch how it works with us.
So hey, everyone, welcome to Estimate Rocket Radio.
Really great to be here. Thank you, Kathy.
Been waiting for this. This is very exciting.
Thanks for having me, Kathy.
So guys, we all recently met together at the headquarters there in Newburyport, Massachusetts. We had a great meeting. And I know a lot of people are interested in how we do this because everybody kind of struggles to find the right rhythm, the right format. They want to know about the right ground rules and how do you really accomplish something from all this? Because you want it to turn into something effective. So let's talk about what are the goals of these quarterly leadership meetings in our company. Let's ask you first, Tom, and then Corwin.
Sure. Well, Chris, there's a few objectives, but the main objective is alignment. At the end of our several days of meeting, our hope is that we're all aligned on what we're going to be working on and, you know, in the next time span. Usually it's a 90-day period, but we also talk about our annual and three-year goals as well. And we start out with, you know, discussing what happened in the last period, the last 90 days, wins, losses, things to keep doing, things to stop doing. And kind of cover all the bases on that. And then we get into the what's coming, what's upcoming.
Yeah, you know, Tom, that's exactly it. The way I kind of see it and the way I saw it when we started implementing these habits, if you will, in my previous company is it was kind of like we were, as an organization, or at least a leadership team, we were down in the jungles of Panama and we were trying to cut a path through the jungle. You know, really densely, you know, jungled, forested, whatever you call it. And the 90-day thing was where we pressed pause. And as a senior leadership team, we rose above the jungle canopy to check in, like, how are we doing cutting our path through the jungle, A, and B, do we need to adjust our path? And then the third part of it, too, is knowing that us human beings really function only in a 90-day world. You know, one of the things that I was so frustrated with years before I implemented the process in my company was like we'd set like annual targets and they seemed to kind of fade. And what I didn't understand is for us human beings, like 13 weeks or 90 days is long enough. So mm-hmm. it's like we have to chunk the long-term thing down into like, hey, we only have to worry about these next 13 weeks or 90 days, and that's it. And knowing that as long as we hit this waypoint, if you will, on our trek through the jungle, that we'll be on track for our 3-year and ultimately our 10-year goal. And that's all we have to worry about. And then underneath that, as Tom said, is like getting the whole organization aligned, rowing in the same direction after the same 90-day targets. So we can have all of our power and energy and focus around hitting this 90-day target or sprint.
Well, that whole description just gives me chills. It's so exciting. So Tom, I'm going to throw this question to you. How are these meetings organized? You know, what's the format? What are the rules? What's the length of the meeting times?
Yeah, it's pretty much a full 2-day effort. Corwin does a great job orchestrating it and keeping us on track and mixing it up. But fundamentally, we review our 3-year direction and then our annual direction and then, you know, what's going on in the quarter. In terms of rules, the biggest rule is just bring an open mind, be willing to discuss things. Some of the discussions can be uncomfortable, but we have to be able to do that so that we make sure that we're all going in the same direction. Really critical to the whole process.
Yeah, I think being willing and able to have uncomfortable conversations really takes you to the next level. And it's sometimes that simple. Just people who know how to communicate through difficult times are very effective people. And I know we laid the groundwork for those types of crucial and difficult conversations with the book Daring Greatly. And I don't know, Corwin, did Corwin recommend that or?
Oh, it was definitely Corwin.
Definitely.
Any of the good books we've read recently were Corwin recommendations.
Okay. Corwin, you guys are sweet. Thank you.
Corwin gives us awesome recommendations. And that really has helped. Little phrases like clear is kind has been amazing. We use the word rumbling with vulnerability. So many cool things. So let me ask, Corwin, I really loved how you talked about this idea of cutting a path through the jungle. And it kind of speaks to this thing being kind of difficult, sometimes confusing at times, but very necessary, very urgent. You talked about us losing sight potentially if we let the goals drift off too far and we lose some focus on that. So you got to keep in the 90-day cycles. So let me ask you though, how long does it take when you're doing these types of meetings with these types of rhythms, how long does it take for a lot of the companies that you work with to show some results from this and for these systems to work effectively for somebody's company?
I'm going to give you the answer that my first jujitsu instructor gave me. It takes as long as it takes. And I kind of laugh as I say that.
Yeah.
It depends, right?
Yeah.
Here's what I know, Chris, and this has held true consistently for the, you know, whatever number of companies I've coached in my own company. In the first 90 days, when we just adjust the meeting rhythms, for instance, and we start setting priorities, you know, 90-day, 1-year, 3-year, 10-year, that kind of stuff, we start to clarify values, start to clarify purpose. Companies already have an adjustment, you know, like, it's kind of like their spine was out of alignment. They went to the chiropractor and got the, you know, crack, crack, crack. And then everything's adjusted and flowing smooth again. Like that'll happen. There's always immediate wins. Like communication's more effective. People are working more in sync. Those are immediate wins that are almost always for sure. And then, yeah, like how long does it take for an organization to get a really, really dialed in, truly differentiated competitive strategy? It depends, you know, it depends. Sometimes companies get it in as little as 12 to 18 months. Other companies could take 2 or 3 years or even longer. And it really is all contingent on how much the company focuses on having discipline and having discipline around a handful of things, which is bringing rigor to how we do the daily huddle, rigor to how we do the weekly meeting. And in those meetings, making sure that the meetings and the content in the meeting is actually really meaningful. I was having a conversation yesterday with a COO that just joined a client about a week and a half ago. And the COO was commenting that he was kind of auditing some of the daily huddles. And he said, what I noticed is some of these teams would come into the daily huddle, and a daily huddle update would be, have to send 5 estimates today for the main focus. And it's like, that's not useful, right? What would be useful instead is I have my main focus today is to send out this one estimate to this new customer who's Jim Smith, yada, yada, whatever, right? And why that's useful is because now other people that are in the huddle may say, oh, you're starting to work with Jim Smith. I know a lot about their organization. I have some helpful intel data that's going to help us be more effective serving that customer, for instance, mm-hmm. versus people just kind of checking the box or filling in the blank, bringing real rigor and curiosity to these little pieces like the daily huddle and the weekly meeting, because those two small things, though simple, are really the glue that holds this whole entire operating system, if you will, together. Mm-hmm. So how quick do companies get results? Usually it's dramatic in the first 90 days, and then really they compound. I mean, where I see companies really start to typically break away and start to achieve significant increase in growth rates, profitability, alignment, it's around the 24 to 36 month time frame.
Okay.
And then it compounds from there even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Corwin, I have to say that after our first few quarters together, I was really happy when I read the Three Hag Way and read that 8 quarters was a typical getting in the groove period. I was so afraid I was way behind the curve.
I remember you told me you're sitting there, you're like, how long is it going to take us to get it? And so that's the hard thing, right? Like Jack Welch, the famous CEO of GE, said it really well when he said, strategy is not a lengthy action plan. Strategy is an ongoing evolution of a central idea. Mm-hmm. Ideally we could plug in for a quarterly planning session and have the strategy dialed for Estimate Rocket and have it so clear and so competitive that it would literally make competitors shudder. The fact is, like, the strategy gets tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter, and finally it pops and it's like, we nailed it. We got to the heart of it and let's go. Mm-hmm. And then the next piece is with strategy. As soon as you have a differentiated strategy, your competitors copy it.
Right.
And they do the me too. So they copy it, they do the me too. And so that's where we have to develop cascading strategies, where as soon as they copy this one, we have the next 5 or 6 ready to go. And it's like, okay, they copied number one, we go to number two. Then when they copy number two, we go like that and just ongoing. And that's what we're developing, is this ongoing cascading competitive strategy. So as competitors copy it, it's like, okay, we'll do the next one. We'll keep that thing and then we'll add in the next thing like that.
Exactly. So as they decide just to play the copy game, we give them a very large to-do list.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. 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 All right, Tom, I'm going to throw this question over to you. What, at a very high level, of course, what did we get out of our last Q meeting?
The objective is to come up with your 3 to 5 priorities for the company for the next 90 days. So in this particular quarter, our focus really was our hiring priorities for help in various areas that we need, product priorities over the next 90 days, our sales approach priorities, and absolutely our customer success and customer journey and education priorities over the next 90 days.
And people don't realize, because all us department heads know, we have a huge to-do list ahead of us for the next quarter. And it's actually so exciting, though, to have that and to be able to all be working in sync together to make greatness happen within the company.
It's a pretty amazing result there, just being able to do something together. But So the specifics of some of this, let's dig in just a little bit. We actually worked on our core purpose, and we usually revisit our core purpose statement, core values. But how have those been revised in this last session? Let's ask Tom and then Corwin. I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, well, we keep refining our core purpose. Fundamentally, it's the same, but as we evolve, we find new words to express what we're doing and why we're doing it. And we provide growth systems to service contracting companies to build a future and leave a legacy that they can be proud of. That is our core purpose. And again, that evolves from time to time. And this is a new one. This is definitely different than last quarter's by a few words, but the meaning becomes different as we get deeper and deeper into our strategy. We also did the same with core values. We cleaned up and updated the core values. They're the same core values, but they're worded differently. And sometimes the wording is really kind of a key to things. Our new core values, new core value expressions are blow them away. And we've got your back. Enjoy the ride, and clear is kind. And so those four things may not mean a lot to everybody, but they mean a lot to us. And of course, there's more behind the expression of each one of those, but those are the key words that we would use to express one of our key core values.
So Tom, you mentioned something interesting, and you said that they may not mean a lot to everybody, but they mean something to us. And that's all that matters at the end of the day. You know, I get some teams that they're like, hey, should we publish our values and our purpose on our website? And I'm like, it's up to you. With my company, we didn't, because I felt like these are our internal operating principles and they were for us and they were ours to manage ourselves. And what's cool is once they got clear for the team, it allowed the team to better manage themselves, but also manage each other, because I love to share the story about when we did our first employee handbook, finally kind of professionalized, if you will, as an entrepreneurial organization. And we got the handbook printed up and it was like, I don't know, whatever, 45 pages. We'd onboard people and give them the thing, the handbook. And then I started noticing how like these 45 page employee handbooks were like laying all over the office and like no one did anything with them. So clearly I got the joke that no one's reading the handbook. So we finally pivoted just to giving them the handbook on like a CD-ROM drive. It wasn't the time. And we give them that thing and the same thing, they lay them around. And then what I figured out is like, no, hold on a second. The only thing that really matters, like at the end of the day, yeah, like handbooks are helpful. I'm not an attorney. Like, please don't, you know, do whatever the attorneys say on that stuff. But at the end of the day, no one reads the handbook anyways to know what the quote unquote rules are. It's really just your handful of values. That's the rules. Like if you break the values, we're going to have a problem. You may even be fired. And if you live the values, we're going to love on you and appreciate you and celebrate you like that.
45 pages. That's a long employee handbook.
Well, and it was like we had to cover all of our bases, you know, like whatever the HR professional and the attorney said was the things. And no one's going to read it.
So, Tom, on the subject of hiring, we determined that we need additional what as we went through that whole process?
Pretty close to everything.
In every department.
We are really in a growth sprint here, and you reach certain levels or benchmarks or key points, and you realize, hey, we really need additional resources in these areas. So we absolutely have needs in development area, in the customer success, in sales area and marketing areas. So we're doing a lot of hiring in this upcoming quarter,
which is really fantastic. You know, we're able to attract such great talent that building that team of greatness just is really enjoyable for all of us people that have been here since day one.
Fred, I'm going to kick this to you too, because hiring is going to affect also customer success and what you're doing with the team there, Fred. Also, you're very involved with the customer journey and we're kind of refining that whole thing. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you and get it started. Then Kathy, I'm going to ask you a question as the second part of this about what's going on in sales. But Fred, what's going on there in customer success that we impacted by hiring in the customer journey?
So what we have introduced is we've introduced a new commitment to the customer's overall success. It's a high touch process that's going to engage the customers early and more often during their trial period, and perhaps even before their trial period. This is going to mean to, in order to maintain our current customer success, you know, our current commitment to customer support, is that we're going to need some additional resources to be able to fulfill that commitment and to be able to get people set up quickly within Estimate Rocket.
Okay. And I know that customer journey is going to impact all of us too, as they get set up and started into Estimate Rocket, learning how to use the tool. I know that's impacted by how people come in through sales and marketing. So Kathy, I'm going to ask you about that. And I'm going to make a comment on what we're doing to keep people engaged and moving deeper into the product and learning how to make more money. That's really what the goal is. How do you get started with this? But then I want to keep getting better. I want my business to keep growing. I want to keep making money. So Kathy, how are you representing all this in the sales? Like, what's going on in sales at the front that's impacting customer journey and being impacted by all these changes?
It's really just so exciting because I know you say sales, people have a certain idea of what sales is, but I really think sales goes from the initial lead all the way through the entire journey of the customer experience, because you still want to be touching and loving your customers all the time. Even when they've been with you for 5 years, you want to celebrate that anniversary and remind them how special they are. So the sales department does so much more than just make a sale and forget about it. And actually, that's how I think sales should be. And I love being in the position to be able to touch everyone through their entire journey. But what I'm not sure most people know is Estimate Rocket is huge in the painting industry. It's huge in the concrete lifting and repair industry. It's huge in the roofing industry, the Remodelers and Home Builders Association and industry, window replacement, and I could go on, basement health. Estimate Rocket has evolved so much since day one. And what does that mean to our customers? And what does it mean to all the potential customers out there that can use Estimate Rocket? It means so much. That truly gives us the ability to reach further all the time and bring on customers that have never even heard of Estimate Rocket before.
Well, I love that we're growing and evolving in that way because we're teaching other people how to do that too. Think about Vision Conference, sales and profit planning. So we better hope that we're doing that really well for teaching other people how to do it. So that is exciting to see that we are expanding as our core evolves, as our product evolves, as our team evolves. Our message to people about who we are is evolving. So I love that. That whole process, as people learn about you, activate, start using what you have, and then start going deeper into that product, that whole flow is what I'm trying to work on in the education engagement process to make sure we don't have any gaps. We don't have any kind of cracks that people can fall through. I mean, this is all that every business is learning to do this anyway for their own customer journey. So we're obviously constantly working on it. So that's part of what my task is there. So you have to keep going back. You have to keep saying, okay, are we asking the right questions? Are we getting the right people? Are they getting in deep enough? Are they getting the most use out of it? For technology in particular, wow, you have to really make sure that you're setting up a nice pathway for people to understand and practice what you have so they get better at it. Because it can be overwhelming. It's very complex. There's a lot of technology out there that people are trying to integrate into their company. And so it can be easily overwhelming. So how do you simplify that whole thing? Same for if you're a painting company or if you're a concrete lifter, you know, there's a lot of options. When you present a lot of options, you have to do a better job at now pacing those options and structuring them so they don't feel overwhelming and they feel natural and the next natural step, you know, in what they're supposed to be doing. So that's what we're trying to do. That's what our education process is trying to do. As they get in deeper, it doesn't feel overwhelming. So I guess that's a simple way to put it.
So Tom, I'm going to throw this out to you first and then Corwin can answer. So all these actions help us to keep aligned as a team and all work towards common goals. So what can you say a little bit more to get everyone excited about maybe starting some of these processes in their own company?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we're learning and trying to bring to all of our customers, and it's a little selfish in that if our customers are successful, you know, then we're going to be successful. It's hard to say enough about the results of going through this type of process. And, you know, I've been in business for a long time. I've evolved a lot, changed a lot, but I will say in the last 2 years since we've gone through this coaching process with Corwin and really dialed in on this system of management, it has really changed our business and our focus tremendously. So, and I think the biggest thing in alignment, you know, sounds like a vague term, but as the team has gone through this process, the closer we get to being really aligned, the more everybody at the end of the meeting says, wow, we are all saying the same things and talking in the same direction and understanding what we're talking about, even though we're all coming at it from slightly different directions. Mm-hmm. And that just gives you a feeling of, man, you know, we're going to crush it the next 90 days because we know what we're doing and where we're going. It's just hard to explain how powerful that concept is.
I love what you said, Tom, that we come away at the end of the session like totally aligned and in sync. And what's cool is, like Chris mentioned early on here in the podcast, was many times we start the session or there's points in the session where we're actually doing rigorous debate. And it's because as a leadership team, you guys have been able to engage in rigorous, not ruthless, but rigorous debate with each other, that everyone has spoken their concerns and hesitations. And then we finally agree as a team that these are the best paths forward. And then we walk away aligned with the same message. And I believe this is more important than ever because, you know, if you turn on the news at any given moment, there's headlines constantly running about a great resignation and employee turnover and all these things going on. And, you know, I'm definitely a business geek and a bit of a psychology geek. And I love to reference back to Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is, you know, the five human needs every human being has. And what I found is, like, my companies that have been the most successful in building a hiring bench and they've built the most successful cultures is they've been able to fulfill on organizationally the top three of Maslow's needs. And it's a pyramid, but, you know, at the very base is about basic needs like physiological food and water and things like that. And then it goes to security and safety. And then the top three, though, is what I believe business can do really well, which is the next one is really about belongingness or community or tribe, which I believe Estimate Rocket does really well. The next one is about esteem, so feeling like I'm accomplishing something. And then the final rung, like the diamond in the whole thing here with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, is this self-actualization, which is where people see themselves fulfilling their own potential at work. And so what's cool is, like, when we walk out of these planning sessions, you're able to share the five priorities with the rest of the team. They can see, number one, how they're part of a team. Number two, how they're actually building something. Like, they're not just showing up to work to, you know, keep status quo. Like, they're actually building something meaningful. And then along the way, like, they're actually growing as a human being too. So as a business nerd and a bit of an amateur psychology geek, like, I see this stuff happening and the impact on companies from a financial perspective, but also from a culture perspective is so dramatic. It's mm-hmm. so dramatic.
It's a pretty amazing journey.
Yeah. We all go away from these meetings feeling very inspired. We feel clear. I think clear is not just kind. Mm-hmm. Clear is inspiring. Like mm-hmm. What would you pay just for a clear understanding of who you are, what you're supposed to be doing, where you're going? I mean, clarity like that, vision like that, it's everything, man. Can you imagine how your life would be simplified?
It really is.
Now, yeah. How much would you pay?
Yeah, and exactly. We need to admit, Chris, to everyone, that there's a lot of great food and some great wine at night involved in these quarterly meetings.
Yeah, those are important pieces of this whole thing. So you guys, okay, I want people to get a sneak peek into what these things look like. We want to do this once a quarter. We may not go over all the basics every time of what these meetings, you know, or how the meetings are structured, what the format is, but we definitely want to give people updates because I think a lot of people need to be incorporating meetings like these into their company. Mm-hmm. And so I think we just want to keep giving them updates. So thank you for hopping on and giving us some insight into how you felt about the meeting and what you took away. So thank you, Tom, Erwin, and Fred for being with us.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, guys. Great to be here. Thank you.
Okay, great to be here. Thanks.
This is Estimate Rocket Radio. Join our team at estimaterocket.com.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Corwin. It's great to hear your voice.
Yeah,